News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Happy Halloween. Hope you are having a great Halloween. Hope you've had a chance to make it out to PensCon Halloween Fest at Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola. If you haven't, you've got a couple hours left before the events end to scare up a little fun there. But we are here, first of all, to talk to you today about scaring up some more fun tonight at home on your television. Airing locally on WSRE, but syndicated through several stations throughout the country, is our very own horror host program, Nightmare Theater. And Nightmare Theater is back tonight with a brand new Halloween special, and we have the cast of Nightmare Theater on the show with us this morning. First of all, joining us, you know him as the Baron Mondo von Doren, Mike Ensley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And we've also got his faithful, well, faithful, that might be a stretch, but his manservant, El Sapo Di Tempesto, a.k.a. Chip Chisholm.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody.
And last but not least, you don't usually hear his voice on television, but you are going to hear it on the radio today. It's Mittens the Werewolf himself, Lemmy Cruz.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. So glad to have you guys on and glad to be talking about a very special episode of Nightmare Theater. Now, I don't mean very special as in like, Arnold Drummond learns a lesson or anything like that. It's not, nobody's going to the bike shop, but.
Oh, goodness.
but it is special in that it is a standalone episode recorded separately from the full season Nightmare Theater. And talk a little bit. First of all, let's educate the uneducated, Mike. If you would tell people what Nightmare Theater is, anybody that doesn't know the show.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a throwback to when the days of local television programming. I mean, I think most people know Elvira as probably the most famous horror host or horror hostess in her case, who, we show really obscure B movies that aren't necessarily so good all the time, and we kind of make a fun of them in between with little. I think our show is much more comedy based than a lot of other shows, but we do a lot of sketches in between, and we talk about the movies. We give a little insight and education about what the movie is and who made it and why, in God's name, they decided to make it. Because a lot of people have that question that continues to run through their head as they watch these films. But we just have a good time with these movies, and hopefully the viewers will enjoy the presentation that we bring to it.
So Nightmare Theater has been on WSRE for two seasons plus tonight's Halloween special, but you guys have been doing this for quite some time, Chip.
Yes, sir. We've been doing it about 20 years now, believe it or not, off and on.
Yeah, so, coming up on 20 years, yeah.
So what initially got you interested in doing a show like this?
Just a mutual love for the artwork, for the genre. We both always grew up watching these things and listening to them, and always wanted to do it. And then Mike got a good camera, and he had a lot of editing skills. And one day we just said, "Let's do it." And we had a friend of ours who worked at a local leased access station where we had to pay to get the show on the air. And so Mike made some good commercials, and we charged people for the commercials, and that's how we eventually got on, got on the air. And so we kind of kept going from there. And it's really good on WSRE now. We're really happy with the way it's working out right now.
Well, so tell me a little bit about tell me a little bit first about how the show came to WSRE.
The same guy who got us on Leased Access, his name is Brent Burton, he's our producer, now he's a producer at WSRE. He went to work for WSRE, and WSRE, because of Pensacon, decided that they wanted to do something called PBS Nerd, which was a kind of a burgeoning movement around the country to bring in a different audience to, rather than having the folks who have been loyal PBS watchers, and obviously they're very important to PBS, but they wanted to broaden out that audience. So they said, what kind of alternative programming can we do to make that happen? So they brought in initially Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they brought back episodes of Clash of Classic Doctor Who, and they were showing those on Saturday nights. And for whatever reason, the availability of Mystery Science Theater 3000 was not there. I think it switched to another network, and it wasn't available to PBS stations anymore, and so they were looking for something to replace it. And Brent and his greatness said to them, "Well, these guys have been doing this show for a long time, and it's really funny, and you should take a look at it." And so they did. They started looking at the show, and we took some meetings with them and talked with them. And it was kind of touch and go for a while. And then I think they finally just said, well, let's give it a shot. So we shot a pilot episode, and everybody seemed to like it. And so it just went on from there. And now we've become one of their most syndicated shows. We're in 9 different markets now, 9 different PBS stations all throughout the Southeast, and hopefully we're going to be adding some more here soon. And so we're 2 seasons in, and now the Halloween special, and season 3 shooting next year. Obviously, we wanted to shoot season 3 this year, but because of COVID, we haven't been able to do that. But we're on board for another year, and so that's kind of how it all came to be on WSRA.
Yeah, it was interesting trying to, and I'll go ahead, and I haven't said this yet on the air, but I'm actually on the show too. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about what I do later in the show, but it was interesting, you know, trying to shoot a show in COVID and trying to socially distance while all being in the same studio. That was interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later, but before I came into the show, years and years before I came into the show, you started with just Mike and Chip, but Lemmy, how did you come into the show?
Hanging out with the guys at Shucktoberfest and them showing the movies at Silver Screen, which is was our local Cinema Tavern before that. And they have movable chairs. They allowed them to do the Shucktoberfest events there, and I went and started hanging out with the guys and talking with them, and we realized we all like the same schlocky, so bad it's good. Horror movies, and the so good they're good horror movies, but we could all appreciate that. And then they ended up asking me to, I think, what was it, 2005, somewhere right around
yeah,
there, asked me if I wanted to.
Time, I think you came on board as, you know, because we had an episode where El Sapo got a pet and we decided it would be a werewolf. So that's when Lemmy joined us.
Santa brought me. And then the rest is, history, actually. I'm surprised you had me on here because I'm not that much of a talker.
Well, you know, we wanted you to feel included, Lemmy. You know, we didn't want to leave you out. I mean, here's the entire cast of Nightmare Theater except Lemmy. How would you feel about that? We wouldn't feel very good.
I would
call
my cry into my Cheerios. But yeah, we've gone to, before Pitch Gun happened, we all went around to cons and, you know, just all loved the same stuff. And I mean, we all get along,
mm-hmm.
and it's been fun ever since.
Now, do you think, and Mike, you know, I'm going to ask you to put on your other hat as chairman of Pensacon for a moment here. Do you think Pensacon's success had something to do with Nightmare Theater coming together with WSRE and how it's grown since then?
Well, I think in the sense that, you know, that they decided to do this nerd thing, and they decided because they saw the audience that Pensacon had created in town. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially when we first started doing Pensacon, didn't think that Pensacon was going to be as big a thing as it was, and it has become. I mean, you know, it's become one of the signature events of our town. You know, I'm not trying to be sound immodest, but it definitely has become, you know, I think Visit Pensacola and a lot of other people, hoteliers and restaurants would agree. It's one of those things that generates a lot of economic impact, and a lot of people come and take part, and we've contracted a lot of, you know, great celebrities over the years now. So I think that it made them aware that that audience existed, and that's one of the things that, like I said, because originally they didn't have Nightmare Theater on the schedule. It was part of Pensacon that inspired them was the Doctor Who and the Mystery Science Theater 3000. It was only when Mystery Science Theater 3000 sort of faded out from their availability that they came to us and said, you know, let's talk about this. And having Brent Burton there was definitely a big advantage for him to say, look, this is what these guys have been doing. And, you know, our friend Steve Wise, who's also, you know, part of Pensacon, you know, filmmaker and a great guy, he helped us make a pilot that I think convinced them that, you know, this is something we should look into airing. So it's been a confluence of events, definitely. And I definitely think Pensacon had an impact in the sense that it just made people aware of that audience.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about with the cast of Nightmare Theater, but we do have to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Friends in tow, Mittens and El Sapo, the Baron Mondo.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. More than a little taste, the entire actual theme song from Nightmare Theater there by our good friend Nick Flagstar and his Dirty Mangy Dogs. I've got the cast of Nightmare Theater here with me for Halloween, talking about tonight's very special Halloween special episode of Nightmare Theater airing at 10 p.m. on WSRE here in Pensacola. And Mike, this is the first time I think that the same episode is going to be shown in all of Nightmare Theater theaters markets at the same time. Am I right?
That's correct. Yeah, this is the first time ever that that will happen, which we're very excited about. You know, so that's, you know, all throughout Florida and into Tennessee, and, you know, we get picked up by over the air in Georgia and North Carolina and Kentucky and, you know, just all over the place. The show is South Alabama. We have a lot of viewers in South Alabama, so shout out to all of them. I know they can hear us too. So yep. Shout out to all of those guys. But yeah, we have a lot of states we're covering now. And like I said, hopefully soon, that there seems to be a new system being introduced into PBS from what we've understood. That's going to make it easier for our show to get out to more people. And we're very excited about that.
Well, talk a little bit about what the setup is now at WSR. We talked a little bit in the first segment that you know, things have kind of evolved and improved for the show with coming to WSRE. So talk about, first of all, the theme song kind of gives you a little bit of a clue as to what the the plot line is, but just kind of go into that for a little bit, Mike.
The show, Chip and I came up with the concept for the show originally. We were looking for some kind of characters that we could play, and really it all, you know, it all came about because of what costumes we had available to us.
Right.
I know that sounds weird, but we had some stuff already, and so I decided I wanted to be kind of a demon character who's sort of a middle management in hell. He had maybe one or two successful things. Like he was the guy that came up with New Coke. He's the guy that put Milli Vanilli together. So that was kind of the stuff that he had done to make his name for himself as a demon. And of course, you know, those things aren't necessarily the greatest things that ever happened in the world. He had a manservant who he took pity on. That's El Sapo de Tempesta, who was a very poor Mexican wrestler who had lost many
right.
matches. And he sort of took pity on him and took him in as his manservant. And so that was how the show sort of started. We were trying to foist these bad movies onto people in a plot to control their minds. We've gone to WSRE, and then, you know, like I said, we added Lemmy, maybe 4 or 5 years into the show as a Christmas gift. We always did a Christmas show. We always like doing the Christmas show. And so Brenton Burton, our producer, actually plays Santa for us in most of those episodes. He's kind of our utility infielder character. He just plays a different person in almost everything, from Criswell to, you know, a delivery boy to a surly elf. He's kind of played everything. But he played Santa, and he brought us Mittens, and Mittens became our sort of pet. But Mittens' role has evolved quite a bit as well. So when we got to WSRE, we went in and they were talking about, well, what do you guys want for a set? Because obviously now we have a little bit more resources at WSRE. I mean, they're a real television station. It's not just us shooting it ourselves and editing on our, you know, our personal computer and putting it out there to the world. It's being done in a professional manner. We have a great director, James Roy. We have, you know, a great crew over there with Mike and Ted and a lot of other people that work on the show, great camera people. But we were going through the station like, well, how are we going to do this? And they took us in the back to show us some wall pieces that they had from an old show. They said, well, can we use these for something? And I looked around the corner and I saw all this old analog antiquated television equipment that they still were just storing in the back. And I said, hey, guys, what if the show now is that the Baron and El Sapo, after all these years of failing to try to voice these movies on people, they are now stuck in Hell's television station, and they have to show these shows, and that's kind of the assignment that they've been stuck with. And everybody loved it, and so we started pulling out a lot of that equipment. And you know, James and Ted did a great job building the set. If you've seen the set, it's gorgeous in its own creepy way. And so, yeah, that's where we are now. We're kind of stuck in the television station there in Hell, broadcasting out these horrible, horrible movies.
And so and with coming to WSRE, you had to have an educational element, and I guess that's where I came in. For those who don't know, one of my 19 jobs is I am the curator of the Merrill Movie Museum. And so we come on every episode. I come on every episode as the mysterious curator and bring some piece of movie history from the collection on, and we talk about that to kind of, you know, A, I think all that stuff is interesting personally. I mean, I love my job, and I love getting to be in charge of these wonderful treasures that have, you know, brought people so much pleasure through the movies and television over the years. So getting to come on and talk about that is a lot of fun. And I know you guys are all into that kind of stuff too. So, how did you decide that was the way you were going to go with this, Mike? Cause I don't even know. I just was told, hey, you're doing this. Okay. I'm doing that.
When we first started talking about it, I was thinking one of the characters, you could be a grumpy janitor who every episode brought something up that you found down there and you were complaining about it. But Mike said it would work better if you were like a curator, more professional museum type guy. And I agree, that was a better idea. So that's one way that it happened.
Yeah, you guys have seen me act. If I had to act that much, that would be a problem. My acting is not good.
But I thought the crazy janitor might have been funny, where you brought up a new piece of junk that you found every week. So, but the curator is a better idea. I admit that's a better way to do it.
So missed opportunities. I could have been the Schneider of Nightmare Theater.
Yeah. Oh goodness, big key ring.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the museum has so many great pieces and so much iconic stuff, you know, and we've been able to showcase a lot of it on the show. And like you said, you know, we've incorporated a lot more educational. We always talked about the movies and kind of the history of the movies. And we still do that. We still talk about, you know, their connections to other films and like what happened to these people after, you know, what happened to the Giant Gila Monster director after he did the Giant Gila Monster? Well, not much, it turned out. But so we'll still talk about stuff like that. But the Merrill Moon Museum, I mean, it's just so much iconic stuff, and we've been able to talk about it. And by talking about it that way, we also get to talk about the film making business and the film making art, you know, and we knew because we discussed everything from like having one sheets and different posters on to talk about the different sizes of posters that are released when a movie comes out or when it used to come out, you know, like half sheets and full one sheets and you know, and all that kind of stuff and lobby cards. And but we've also talked about, you know, makeup effects and how they're done and why they're done and prop weapons and all of the stuff that goes into making movies that people a lot of times don't even think about. So it's cool to see all these amazing props, but then also to learn about how they're used in filmmaking.
Well, I've enjoyed getting to be part of the show, and I appreciate the way that you guys have welcomed me into it. It's been a lot of fun, and look forward to doing another season for sure.
Glad to have you.
So let's talk about tonight's show. Talk a little bit about,
sure.
Well, again, you know, we had to come up with something that you guys, really, I should say, because Mike and Chip
right.
actually write the episodes.
We were very, you know, because they have the COVID restrictions that they're just about like everywhere else. So we had to come up with an idea where we're all on the show, but all not right next to each other. So we came up with a way to do that. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting. We're all there, but it doesn't, we're appear to be in different places. So like, that's a good preview, I think.
Now, of course,
I will say that it was hot wearing a mask under the mask.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, Chip and Lemmy's characters both are regularly in full head masks, but you had to wear a COVID mouth protection mask, mouth and face protection mask under that mask.
That's correct.
Just in case.
Right. And if you've seen them, you understand why they need to wear the masks. But
exactly. Yeah, doing you a favor.
We just wanted everybody to be safe. I mean, I'm the only one who's unmasked, and I'm unmasked only when I'm up on the set shooting. As soon as we get off the set, my mask went right back on. I wasn't, you know, the same thing with Julio as the curator. We were all pretty socially distant, and the way we shot it, it'll be interesting for you to see. You'll never know that it's a COVID-related thing. I think it'll just work for everybody. It's a really fun episode. Let's just say that El Sapo trick-or-treating is going to be an interesting thing for you to watch.
Mm-hmm. So when you get home from Pensacon Halloween Fest and you get home from your own trick-or-treating, flip on WSRE 10 o'clock tonight, and you'll get a brand new Halloween episode of Nightmare Theater, which we're all very excited for you to see. Mike, tell people a little bit about tonight's film.
Well, tonight's film is a very interesting one, and we will talk about this on the show, but I'll give you guys a preview. I think the most fascinating thing about the film is that it's narrated by the great Rod Serling, you know, of Twilight Zone, Night Gallery, and all that, kind of an iconic horror science fiction guy in his own right. The film is called Encounter with the Unknown, and it was made in the 70s. Actually, Harry Thomason, who I feel a lot of people remember Linda Bloodworth and Harry Thomason did Designing Women. Other shows like that, Hearts of Fire, I think, was one of them. They were very successful producers later. But he produced this film in the early 70s, and it was not as successful, I would say. It's kind of an anthology film based on stories of supposedly true stories of people that had encounters with unknown forces, and it's very entertaining in a very cheesy way. I think people are really, really going to enjoy that one, and we have a good time with our bits around it, our segments around it, and so it's one of the more fun movies we've done, I think. I don't, you know, a lot of people are always like, well, I don't want to watch the show because it's too scary, and I always tell them, you know, we're not really scary at all. We're kind of the movies we show by today's standards would not, you know, make your skin crawl, let's put it that way. They're really much more fun than anything else.
From an entertainment standpoint, where do you kind of rank this, just the film, not the episode, amongst what's been shown on Nightmare Theater for the past two seasons?
You want to take that one, Chip?
Well, can you repeat that? Where do we rank the episode or the movie?
The movie alone, its sheer entertainment value. Like, do you put this above Plan 9, above EGA? Where does it rank amongst what's been shown?
It's definitely something. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's something that you can see it, then you'll be able to tell your grandkids that you sat through it until the end and saw the whole thing. It's something that everybody ought to have to do once.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement of quality.
I mean, there's a lot of movies in the world, Julio, and this is definitely one of them. So
it is.
We can say about it in terms of quality.
It is, technically speaking, a motion picture.
That's correct.
Now,
I would have never thought to put all the elements together, but, you know, hey, there you go. It's there.
Okay, guys, we have to take another break, but we will be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a happy Halloween. We are definitely having a happy Halloween here on the show today with the cast of Nightmare Theater, Mike Ensley, Chip Chisholm, and Lemmy Cruz. We've been talking about tonight's big Halloween special airing on WSRE at 10 p.m. I want to talk a little bit more about the entirety of the series, because you can catch the series, of course, at 10 p.m. on WSRE on Saturday nights, but it's available on YouTube now also, right?
Yeah, they put the first two seasons up on WSRE's YouTube channel for everyone to be able to watch and enjoy.
So if somebody was wanting to warm up for tonight's special, I think they'd have time to maybe watch probably two full episodes of Nightmare Theater on YouTube. Which two would you pick out of the offerings that are available on YouTube to prepare people for tonight? Each of you can make some picks on that if you want to. We'll start with Chip.
I would say the Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is a good one, and the Werewolf of Washington.
The Werewolf of Washington was actually the episode I pulled to play the theme song earlier in the segment.
Cool.
I wanted to make sure I got the season two version of the theme song, because Nick was so proud of re-engineering it and going from there. Those are both very fun episodes. Lemmy, how about you?
I'd say our two episodes with the Mr. Everywhere, Dick Miller, which is Little Shop of Horrors and Bucket of Blood.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Bucket of Blood is one of those ones that everybody should watch if they're going to watch one episode of our show right now. Is Bucket of Blood is such a good one. I also really like Track of the Moon Beast. I think it's a really fun episode. And definitely check out A Bucket of Blood, Werewolf of Washington, as mentioned, and Track of Moonbeast, because it has a great stew recipe in it. And that's one of the only movies that I can think of that you can get a good recipe out of the movie as well.
That's true. Exactly. I mean, it's hard
and
to
we
choose.
May also
They're
want to mention,
platinum.
If you want to, I was going to say, if you want to see a extra hidden character on Nightmare Theater, Little Shop of Horrors and Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory have our special guest star that we have from time to time. Would you like to talk about that, Lemmy?
Oh, I think we definitely need to talk about that.
That guy's a loudmouth. I don't want to talk about him. He hurts my nerve. Leonard Abernathy.
Yeah. We gave Lemmy a part that he could actually be on camera and speak a little bit. And his wig has to be seen to be believed. So, yeah, definitely check out those episodes too. You can see Mitten's alter ego when he's not a werewolf, what he becomes, which I think the werewolf is more preferable to everybody, really.
Wait, that's a wig?
It's a wig.
Hey, how was that bowl of soup?
Mike, can you tell me a little bit about how you pick the films to be shown on Nightmare Theater and how you acquire them? Because it's basically public domain, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it involves a dartboard and a dart. No, we go to a company that has all of these films that has, you know, researched the rights and all that kind of stuff, because there's a lot of rights issues out there in the world with content and stuff, so we don't want to ever step on anybody's toes and show something that we shouldn't show. We're very lucky in that Desert Island Films, they do this kind of stuff, or Festival Films, I'm sorry, does this stuff for us, that they get the movies together, and then we have a copyright consultant.
But that's the old reality.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Happy Halloween. Hope you are having a great Halloween. Hope you've had a chance to make it out to Pensacon Halloween Fest and Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola. If you haven't, you've got a couple hours left before the events end to scare up a little fun there. But we are here, first of all, to talk to you today about scaring up some more fun tonight at home on your television, airing locally on WSRE, but syndicated through several stations throughout the country, is our very own horror host program, Nightmare Theater. And Nightmare Theater is back tonight with a brand new Halloween special. And we have the cast of Nightmare Theater on the show with us this morning. First of all, joining us, you know him as the Baron Mondo von Doren, Mike Ensley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And we've also got his faithful, that might be a stretch, but his manservant, El Sapo Di Tempesto, a.k.a. Chip Chisholm.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody.
And last but not least, you don't usually hear his voice on television, but you are going to hear it on the radio today. It's Mittens the Werewolf himself, Lemmy Cruz.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. So glad to have you guys on and glad to be talking about a very special episode of Nightmare Theater. Now, I don't mean very special as in Arnold Drummond learns a lesson or anything like that. It's not, nobody's going to the bike shop, but.
Oh, goodness.
but it is special in that it is a standalone episode recorded separately from the full season Nightmare Theater, and talk a little bit. First of all, let's educate the uneducated. Mike, if you would tell people what Nightmare Theater is, anybody that doesn't know the show.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a throwback to when the days of local television programming. I mean, I think most people know Elvira as probably the most famous horror host or horror hostess in her case, who, you know, we show really obscure B movies that aren't necessarily so good all the time, and we kind of make fun of them in between with little. I think our show is much more comedy based than a lot of other shows, but we do a lot of sketches in between, and we talk about the movies. We give a little insight and education about what the movie is and who made it and why, in God's name, they decided to make it. Because a lot of people have that question that continues to run through their head as they watch these films. But yeah, we just have a good time with these movies, and hopefully with the viewers will enjoy the presentation that we bring to it.
So Nightmare Theater has been on WSRE for two seasons plus tonight's Halloween special, but you guys have been doing this for quite some time, Chip.
Yes, sir. We've been doing about about 20 years now, believe it or not, off and on.
Yeah, coming up on 20 years. Yeah.
So what initially got you interested in doing a show like this?
Just a mutual love for the artwork, for the genre. We both always grew up watching these things and listening to them, and always wanted to do it. And then Mike got a good camera, and he had a lot of editing skills. And one day we just said, let's do it. And we had a friend of ours who worked at a local leased access station where we had to pay to get the show on the air. And so Mike made some good commercials, and we charged people for the commercials, and that's how we eventually got on the air. And so we kind of kept going from there. But it's really good on WSRE now. We're really happy with the way it's working out right now.
Well, so tell me a little bit tell me a little bit first about how the show came to WSRE.
The same guy who got us on Leased Access, his name is Brent Burton, he's our producer. Now he's a producer at WSRE. He went to work for WSRE, and WSRE, because of Pensacon, decided that they wanted to do something called PBS Nerd, which was a kind of a burgeoning movement around the country to bring in a different audience to, you know, rather than having the folks who had been loyal PBS watchers, and obviously they're very important to PBS, but they wanted to broaden out that audience. So they said, what kind of alternative programming can we do to make that happen? So they brought in initially Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they brought back episodes of Classic Doctor Who, and they were showing those on Saturday nights. And for whatever reason, the availability of Mystery Science Theater 3000 was not there. I think it switched to another network, and it wasn't available to PBS stations anymore, and so they were looking for something to replace it. And Brent and his greatness said to them, well, you know, you guys have been doing this show for a long time, and it's really funny, and you should take a look at it. And so they did. They started looking at the show, and we took some meetings with them and talked with them. And it was kind of touch and go for a while. And then I think they finally just said, well, let's give it a shot. So we shot a pilot episode, and everybody seemed to like it. And so it went on from there. And now we've become one of their most syndicated shows. We're in 9 different markets now, 9 different PBS stations all throughout the Southeast, and hopefully we're going to be adding some more here soon. And so we're 2 seasons in, and now the Halloween special, and season 3 shooting next year. Obviously, we wanted to shoot season 3 this year, but because of COVID, we haven't been able to do that. But we're on board for another year, and so that's kind of how it all came to be on WSRE.
Yeah, it was interesting trying to, and I'll go ahead, and I haven't said this yet on the air, but I'm actually on the show too. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about what I do later in the show, but it was interesting, you know, trying to shoot a show in COVID and trying to socially distance while all being in the same studio. That was interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. But before I came into the show, years and years before I came into the show, you started with just Mike and Chip. But Lemmy, how did you come into the show?
Hanging out with the guys at Shocktoberfest and them showing the movies at Silver Screen, which was our local Cinema Tavern before that. And they have movable chairs. They allowed them to do the Shocktoberfest events there, and I went and started hanging out with the guys and talking with them, and we realized we all like the same schlocky, so bad it's good horror movies, and the so good they're good horror movies, but we could all appreciate that. And then they ended up asking me to, I think, what was it, 2005, somewhere right around there,
right,
and asked me if I wanted to...
Yeah, it was around that time. I think he came on board as, because we had an episode where El Sapo got a pet and we decided it would be a werewolf. So that's when Lemmy joined us.
Santa brought me. And, and then the rest is, history. Actually, I'm surprised you had me on here because I'm not that much of a talker.
Well, you know, we wanted you to feel included, Lemmy. You know, we didn't want to leave you out. I mean, here's the entire cast of Nightmare Theater except Lemmy. How would you feel about that? I would feel very good.
I would cry into my Cheerios. But yeah, we've gone to, before Pensacon happened, we all went around to cons and, you know, just all loved the same stuff. And, I mean, we all get along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun ever since.
Now, do you think, and Mike, you know, I'm going to ask you to put on your other hat as chairman of Pensacon for a moment here. Do you think Pensacon's success had something to do with Nightmare Theater coming together with WSRE and how it's grown since then?
Well, I think in the sense that, you know, that they decided to do this nerd thing, and they decided because they saw the audience that Pensacon had created in town. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially when we first started doing Pensacon, didn't think that Pensacon was going to be as big a thing as it was, and it has become. I mean, you know, it's become one of the signature events of our town. You know, I'm not trying to be sound immodest, but it definitely has become, you know, I think Visit Pensacola and a lot of other people, hoteliers and restaurants would agree. It's one of those things that generates a lot of economic impact, and a lot of people come and take part, and we've contracted a lot of, you know, great celebrities over the years now. So I think that it made them aware that that audience existed, and that's one of the things that, like I said, because originally they didn't have Nightmare Theater on the schedule. It was part of Pensacon that inspired them was the Doctor Who and the Mystery Science Theater 3000. It was only when Mystery Science Theater 3000 sort of faded out from their availability that they came to us and said, you know, let's talk about this. And having Brent Burton there was definitely a big advantage for him to say, look, this is what these guys have been doing. And, you know, our friend Steve Wise, who's also, you know, part of Pensacon, you know, filmmaker and a great guy, he helped us make a pilot that I think convinced them that, you know, this is something we should look into airing. So it's been a confluence of events, definitely. And I definitely think Pensacon had an impact in the sense that it just made people aware of that audience.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about with the cast of Nightmare Theater, but we do have to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. More than a little taste, the entire actual theme song from Nightmare Theater there by our good friend Nick Flagstar and his Dirty Mangy Dogs. I've got the cast of Nightmare Theater here with me for Halloween, talking about tonight's very special Halloween special episode of Nightmare Theater airing at 10 p.m. on WSRE here in Pensacola. And Mike, this is the first time I think that the same episode is going to be shown in all of Nightmare Theater theaters markets at the same time. Am I right?
That's correct. Yeah, this is the first time ever that will happen, which we're very excited about. You know, so that's, you know, all throughout Florida and into Tennessee, and, you know, we get picked up by Over the Air in Georgia and North Carolina and Kentucky and, you know, just all over the place. The show is South Alabama. We have a lot of viewers in South Alabama, so shout out to all of them. I know they can hear us too. So
yep.
Shout out to all of those guys. But yeah, we have a lot of states we're covering now. And like I said, hopefully soon that there seems to be a new system being introduced into PBS from what we've understood. That's going to make it easier for our show to get out to more people. And we're very excited about that.
Well, talk a little bit about what the setup is now at WSR. We talked a little bit in the first segment that, you know, things have kind of evolved and improved for the show with coming to WSRE. So talk about, first of all, the theme song kind of gives you a little bit of a clue as to what the plot line is, but just kind of go into that for a little bit, Mike.
Chip and I came up with the concept for the show originally. We were looking for some kind of characters that we could play, and really it all, you know, it all came about because of what costumes we had available to us.
Right.
I know that sounds weird, but we had some stuff already, and so I decided I wanted to be kind of a demon character who's sort of a middle management in hell. He had maybe one or two successful things. Like he was the guy that came up with New Coke. He's the guy that put Milli Vanilli together. So that was kind of the stuff that he had done to make his name for himself as a demon. And of course, you know, those things aren't necessarily the greatest things that ever happened in the world. He had a manservant who he took pity on. That's El Sapo de Tempesta, who was a very poor Mexican wrestler who had lost many matches, and he sort of took pity on him and took him in as his manservant. And so that was how the show sort of started. We were trying to foist these bad movies onto people in a plot to control their minds. We've gone to WSRE, and then, you know, like I said, we added Lemmy, maybe 4 or 5 years into the show as a Christmas gift. We always did a Christmas show. We always liked doing a Christmas show. And so Brent Burton, our producer, actually plays Santa for us in most of those episodes. He's kind of our utility infielder character. He just plays a different person in almost everything, from Criswell to, you know, a delivery boy to a surly elf. He's kind of played everything. But he played Santa, and he brought us Mittens, and Mittens became our sort of pet. But Mittens' role has evolved quite a bit as well. So when we got to WSRE, we went in and they were talking about, well, what do you guys want for a set? Because obviously now we have a little bit more resources with WSRE. I mean, they're a real television station. It's not just us shooting it ourselves and editing on our, you know, our personal computer and putting it out there to the world. It's being done in a professional manner. We have a great director, James Roy. We have, you know, a great crew over there with Mike and Ted and a lot of other people that work on the show, great camera people. But we were going through the station like, well, how are we going to do this? And they took us in the back to show us some wall pieces that they had from an old show. They said, well, can we use these for something? And I looked around the corner and I saw all this old analog antiquated television equipment that they still were just storing in the back. And I said, hey, guys, what if the show now is that the Baron and El Sapo, after all these years of failing to try to voice these movies on people, they are now stuck in Hell's television station, and they have to show these shows, and that's kind of the assignment that they've been stuck with. And everybody loved it, and so we started pulling out a lot of that equipment. And you know, James and Ted did a great job building the set. If you've seen the set, it's gorgeous in its own creepy way. And so, yeah, that's where we are now. We're kind of stuck in the television station there in Hell, broadcasting out these horrible, horrible movies.
And so, and with coming to WSRE, you had to have an educational element, and I guess that's where I came in. For those who don't know, one of my 19 jobs is I am the curator of the Merrill Movie Museum, and so we come on every episode. I come on every episode as the mysterious curator, and bring some piece of movie history from the collection on, and we talk about that to kind of. You know, A, I think all that stuff is interesting personally. I mean, I love my job, and I love getting to be in charge of these wonderful treasures that have, you know, brought people so much pleasure through the movies and television over the years. So getting to come on and talk about that is a lot of fun. And I know you guys are all into that kind of stuff too. So how did you decide that was the way you were going to go with this, Mike? Because I don't even know. I just was told, hey, you're doing this. Okay, I'm doing that.
Well, when we first started talking about it, I was thinking one of the characters, you could be a grumpy janitor who every episode brought something up that you found down there and you were complaining about it. But Mike said it would work better if you were like a curator, more professional museum type guy. And I agree, that was a better idea. So that's one way that it happened.
Yeah, you guys have seen me act. If I had to act that much, that would be a problem. My acting is not good.
But I thought the crazy janitor might have been funny, where you brought up a new piece of junk that you found every week. So, but the curator is a better idea. I admit that's a better way to do it.
So missed opportunities. I could have been the Schneider of Nightmare Theater.
Oh goodness, the big key ring.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the museum has so many great pieces and so much iconic stuff, you know, and we've been able to showcase a lot of it on the show. And like you said, you know, we've incorporated a lot more educational. We always talked about the movies and kind of history of the movies, and we still do that. We still talk about, you know, their connections to other films and like what happened to these people after, you know, what happened to the Giant Gila Monster director after he did the Giant Gila Monster? Well, not much, it turned out. But so we'll still talk about stuff like that. But the Merrill Movie Museum, I mean, it's just so much iconic stuff, and we've been able to talk about it. And by talking about it that way, we also get to talk about the film making business and the film making art, you know. And we discussed everything from like having one sheets and different posters on, to talk about the different sizes of posters that are released when a movie comes out, or when it used to come out, you know, like half sheets and full one sheets and all that kind of stuff and lobby cards. And but we've also talked about, you know, makeup effects and how they're done and why they're done and prop weapons and all of the stuff that goes into making movies that people a lot of times don't even think about. So it's cool to see all these amazing props, but then also to learn about how they're used in filmmaking.
Well, I've enjoyed getting to be part of the show, and I appreciate the way that you guys have welcomed me into it. It's been a lot of fun, sure. And look forward to doing another season for sure.
Glad to have you.
So let's talk about tonight's show. Talk a little bit about,
sure.
Well, again, you know, we had to come up with something that you guys, really, I should say, because Mike and Chip
right.
actually write the episodes.
We were very, you know, because they have the COVID restrictions that they just about like everywhere else. So we had to come up with an idea where we're all on the show, but all not right next to each other. So we came up with a way to do that, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting. We're all there, but it doesn't. We're appear to be in different places. So like that's a good preview, I think.
Now, of course,
I will say that it was hot wearing a mask under the mask.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, Chip and Lemmy's characters both are regularly in full head masks, but you had to wear mm-hmm. a COVID mouth and face protection mask under that mask.
That's correct.
Just in case.
Right. And if you've seen them, you understand why they need to wear the masks. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, doing you a favor.
We just wanted everybody to be safe. I mean, I'm the only one who's unmasked, and I'm unmasked only when I'm up on the set shooting. As soon as we get off the set, my mask went right back on. I wasn't, you know, the same thing with Julio as the curator. We were all pretty socially distant, and the way
right.
we shot it, it'll be interesting for you to see. You'll never know that it's a COVID-related thing. I think it'll just work for everybody. It's a really fun
right.
episode. Let's just say that El Sapo trick-or-treating is going to be an interesting thing for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get home from Pensacon Halloween Fest and you get home from your own trick-or-treating, flip on WSRE 10 o'clock tonight, and you'll get a brand new Halloween episode of Nightmare Theater, which we're all very excited for you to see. Mike, tell people a little bit about tonight's film.
Well, tonight's film is a very interesting one, and we will talk about this on the show. But I'll give you guys a preview. I think the most fascinating thing about the film is that it's narrated by the great Rod Serling. You know, of Twilight Zone, Night Gallery, and all that. Kind of an iconic horror science fiction guy in his own right. The film is called Encounter with the Unknown. It was made in the 70s. Actually, Harry Thomason, who a lot of people remember Linda Bloodworth and Harry Thomason did Designing Women, other shows like that. Hearts of Fire, I think, was one of them. They were very successful producers later, but he produced this film in the early 70s, and it was not as successful, I would say. It's kind of an anthology film based on supposedly true stories of people that had encounters with unknown forces, and it's very entertaining in a very cheesy way. I think people are really, really going to enjoy that one, and we have a good time with our bits around it, our segments around it, and so it's one of the more fun movies we've done, I think. I don't, you know, a lot of people are always like, well, I don't want to watch the show because it's too scary, and I always tell them, you know, we're not really scary at all. We're kind of the movies we show by today's standards would not, you know, make your skin crawl, let's put it that way. They're really much more fun than anything else.
From an entertainment standpoint, where do you kind of rank this, just the film, not the episode, amongst what's been shown on Nightmare Theater for the past two seasons?
You want to take that one, Chip?
Can you repeat that? Where do we rank the episode or the movie?
The movie. The movie alone, its sheer entertainment value. Like, do you put this above Plan 9, above EGA? Where does it rank amongst what's been shown?
It's definitely something. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's something that you can see it, then you'll be able to tell your grandkids that you sat through it until the end and saw the whole thing. It's something that everybody ought to have to do once.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement of quality.
I mean, there's a lot of movies in the world, Julio, and this is definitely one of them. So
it is.
I think we can say about it in terms of quality.
It is technically speaking a motion picture.
That's correct.
That's right.
Now, and
I would have never thought to put all the elements together, but, you know, hey, there you go. It's there.
Okay, guys, we have to take another break, but we will be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a happy Halloween. We are definitely having a happy Halloween here on the show today with the cast of Nightmare Theater, Mike Ensley, Chip Chisholm, and Lemmy Cruz. We've been talking about tonight's big Halloween special airing on WSRE at 10 p.m. I want to talk a little bit more about the entirety of the series, because you can catch the series, of course, at 10 p.m. on WSRE on Saturday nights, but it's available on YouTube now also, right?
Yeah, they put the first two seasons up on WSRE's YouTube channel for everyone to be able to watch and enjoy.
So if somebody was wanting to warm up for tonight's special, I think they'd have time to maybe watch probably two full episodes of Nightmare Theater on YouTube. Which two would you pick out of the offerings that are available on YouTube to prepare people for tonight? Each of you can make some picks on that if you want to. We'll start with Chip.
I would say the Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is a good one, and the Werewolf of Washington.
The Werewolf of Washington was actually the episode I pulled to play the theme song earlier in the segment.
Cool.
I wanted to make sure I got the season two version of the theme song, because Nick was so proud of re-engineering it and going from there. Those are both very fun episodes. Lemmy, how about you?
I'd say our two episodes with the Mr. Everywhere, Dick Miller, which is Little Shop of Horrors and Bucket of Blood.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Bucket of Blood is one of those ones that everybody should watch if they're going to watch one episode of our show right now. Is Bucket of Blood is such a good one. I also really like Track of the Moon Beast. I think it's a really fun episode. And definitely check out Bucket of Blood. Werewolf of Washington is mentioned. And Track of the Moon Beast, because it has a great stew recipe in it. And that's one of the only movies that I can think of that you can get a good recipe out of the movie as well.
That's true. Exactly.
I mean, it's hard
and we may also want to mention, if you want to see an extra hidden character on Nightmare Theater, Little Shop of Horrors and Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory have our special guest star that we have from time to time. Would you like to talk about that, Lemmy?
Oh, I think we definitely need to talk about that.
That guy's a loudmouth. I don't want to talk about him. He hurts my nerve. Leonard Abernathy.
Yeah, we gave Lemmy a part that he could actually be on camera and speak a little bit, and his wig has to be seen to be believed. So, yeah, definitely check out those episodes so you can see Mitten's alter ego when he's not a werewolf, what he becomes, which I think the werewolf is more preferable to everybody, really.
Wait, that's a wig?
It's a wig.
Hey, I was up on the suit.
Mike, can you tell me a little bit about how you pick the films to be shown on Nightmare Theater and how you acquire them? Because it's basically public domain, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it involves a dartboard and a dart. No, we go to a company that has all of these films that has, you know, researched the rights and all that kind of stuff, because there's a lot of rights issues out there in the world with content and stuff, so we don't want to ever step on anybody's toes and show something that we shouldn't show. We're very lucky in that Desert Island Films, they do this kind of stuff, or Festival Films, I'm sorry, does this stuff for us, that they get the movies together, and then we have a copyright consultant who actually is an attorney, works with the AFI, I think, and goes through and checks out everything and makes sure it's all good for us to show. So we show other public domain movies that are not, we don't have to actually pay for a lot of rights for these films. These are films that people made and kind of abandoned, or which if you see some of them, you'll understand why they abandoned them. But also, you know, like Night of the Living Dead famously is a film that you know, they forgot to put, they made a transfer of it, they forgot to put the copyright notice on it, and the film fell into the public domain. And we actually got to talk to the director of that film, George Romero, many, many years ago, and he was like, yes, please keep showing it. You know, it's obviously it's a classic film now. It's one of the greatest horror films ever made, but, you know, he doesn't make any money off of it. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he didn't make any money off of that film, even though it's, like I said, one of the most famous and well-respected horror films of all time. So it's fun to be able to show that kind of stuff, too, because we can talk about it and talk about how these films, you know, again, that's part of our educational side, is we get to talk about where these films came from and who made them and whether it was a fertilizer salesman that decided he wanted to be a filmmaker or if it was a serious filmmaker like George Romero. So that part of it's fun as well. And we show a lot of Roger Corman's movies on our show, and that's because Roger notoriously just didn't follow through on copyright stuff. He would play the film, make his money. He never thought about, you know, in later years, this film might be worth something. Now, he just basically would let them fall in the public domain. He just didn't file the paperwork, and they're out there. So,
paperwork costs
a lot of those,
money.
You know, a film like The Terror, or we talked about Little Shop of Horrors and Bucket of Blood, all those films, that they're all Roger Corman movies that we've been able to show on the show.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a time, too, that people didn't realize that a film would ever have a second life unless it was maybe some kind of, you know, major classic. For the most part, you know, the film would play in theaters and then it would disappear, or maybe later on when television came along, it would get shown on television, you know, on the late night show or whatever. And that would be about the life of it. There was no streaming. There was no DVD. There was no VHS. Well, there was no rental.
The 80s with the VHS boom.
Yeah. So
whenever VHS came out, then they were scrambling for content.
Well, and it also used to be why you would see so many film remakes, because after about 5 or 6 years, the original version of the film would more or less not exist to people. So
we've been able to, like, you know, one of the things that we sort of brought to the show is that I have very fond memories of a show called Matinee at the Bee Gees. He stayed on PBS stations, and what they would do is they would show, you know, these classic Hollywood films, and they would show, but before them, they would show like a short. So we've been lucky in that we've had these shorts, these serials that we've been able to show both seasons too. So the first year was the Phantom Creeps that starred Bela Lugosi, and then of course this past season on season two we had Commando Cody with Radar Men from the Moon. And, you know, but like in the old days when you went to the theater, you didn't just go see a movie and leave. There were shorts, there were cartoons, there were, you know, and then the feature, you know, so that's kind of what we've gone for in the show as well. We've had cartoons and shorts and then, you know, obviously the feature. So that's another thing that we kind of wanted to bring back, that experience that people had in the old days of a film. I mean, I guess in a sense, like, you know, Pixar or somebody will put a short before one of their movies now, but it's not common anymore like it once was.
Right.
You have to figure out how to get a newsreel in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, one day. Maybe we'll make a fake newsreel one day.
Well, you know, speaking of, it wouldn't be the first time you've come up with a fake show within a show. I'm thinking specifically of recently the Giant Gila Monster episode, in which you had the whole like documentary behind the scenes of the Giant Gila Monster's life, and brought in all of these celebrities to be a part of that. Talk a little bit about that, some of the celebrity guests that have been on the show, and how that has come together.
Well, I mean, one of the nice things about being the guy that runs Pensacon is that I know a lot of celebrities now. I know a lot of folks that are famous. We had an episode with Colin Baker, the sixth doctor who came on from Doctor Who, who came on and did a little segment with us. We've had a variety of people. Next season, I don't think people are prepared for how it's going to be, but we have the great actor Deep Roy is going to do a whole segment with us. We've already filmed that, and we're really excited about it because it's really, really funny. Deep is a very funny guy to begin with, and everybody from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Eastbound and Down and the Star Trek films, and
Never Ending Story.
I don't think there's been an actor. Yeah, Never Ending Story. I mean, he's been in everything.
Yeah,
Yoda.
He's a great guy, a fantastic actor, great guy too. We love Deep. But the Giant Gila Monster thing came together because we wanted to do something to, you know, we were writing a bit. We decided we wanted to try sort of an E. Hollywood. I don't know if people remember the E. True Hollywood Story, but it would be like, this is what happened to these people after they were famous and how their lives just fell apart. But we wanted to end on a hopeful note. So we came up with this whole story about, you know, that when the giant Gila monster was born, how he was discovered, and we found, we figured, well, if we can pepper this with some celebrities, it'll make it much funnier. So I was lucky enough to grab Bill Corbett from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Jonah Ray, who was also, you know, the most recent host of Mystery Science Theater 3000, but also a very funny stand-up comic and part of the Nerdist, and he's done a lot of stuff. Jonah's great. And so we got them to do little segments for it, you know, talking about the giant Gila monster and their experiences working with him. You know, Bill Corbett talked about how he used to hang out with him at Studio 54, and Jonah was talking about how they found him after his career had sort of gone in the toilet, and he was no longer working and was kind of run down, and finding him, and they both gave great performances. But the best cameo to me in that whole thing is WSRE has been producing a documentary about Hank Laughlin that actually premiered this week on Thursday. It was very entertaining, very good, but because Hank's, you know, kind of a local boy, and so they produced this documentary about the country singer Hank Laughlin. They interviewed a lot of people for it, interviewed Dolly Parton, Dwight Yoakam, you know, Marty Stewart, all of these great country stars. But one of the people that I talked to, and it just so happens that our producer, James Roy, is the same guy who's working on this documentary, was Ralph Emery. And so they told us, you know, well, we're going up to Nashville to shoot Ralph Emery. And I said, guys, we have to get Ralph Emery talking about the giant Gila monster. That would be just the funniest thing. So we wrote like 3 or 4 lines for him about, you know, about the giant Gila monster appearing on Nashville Now back in the day, which used to be on TNN when it was the Nashville Network, and it was a nightly talk show that Ralph Emery hosted there. So we had Ralph Emery talk about the giant Gila monster and his experience dealing with him when he was kind of a wreck on Nashville Now, and I just think it's really, really funny, and Ralph was a great sport and played along, and it's just one of my favorite things we've ever done.
Well, you know, guys, we've got to take one more break here, but we'll be back in just a moment with a little bit more. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We have been talking with the cast of Nightmare Theater and talking about everything to do with Nightmare Theater. And it's, of course, Halloween, so what better time? So I've got Mike Ensley, Chip Chisholm, and Lemmy Cruz on the line with us. And guys, I had to play that. That's just one of my favorite all-time horror movie theme songs, Killer Clowns by the Dickies from Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And I kind of wanted to lead that into talking about what you guys are the experts on this kind of stuff, about what some of your favorite horror or spooky movies for this time of year, maybe independently of what might get shown on Nightmare Theater, or maybe that would be a dream episode of Nightmare Theater for you. I know you guys will come up with some great titles for folks. So Lemmy, we'll start with you on this.
Anything old school Hammer horror. Peter Cushing is my Dr. Frankenstein. I mean, the ambiance of it, every one of the movies are great. I can't pick a favorite, but Christopher Lee as Dracula, great for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of those are on streaming now. I've seen a number of the titles on HBO Max and on Shudder also. So they're out there. They're pretty easy for you to find.
And on
right
Prime
now
as well.
Amazon Prime too?
On Prime as well.
Chip, how about you?
Well, from the past couple of days, going through the whole classic Universal Studios monster films, but if there was any two I could do on the show, I'd want to do two William Castle films, one called Homicidal, which came out in 1961, and one called Mr. Sardonicus. I would love to do those two. I'm a big William Castle fan, and I'd really like to do those episodes.
How about you, Mike?
So I'm going to go to my childhood, and I'm going to say that if I could do any film on the show now, I would really like to do Legend of Boggy Creek, which is sort of a pseudo documentary about the Salk monster, which is a kind of a Bigfoot type creature that lives in Salk, Arkansas. It's really a disturbing film in a lot of ways because it is so realistic, even though, you know, it's obviously pretty, you know, cheaply done and everything. It really works well. And I think if I had a dream film that we could show, and it might be a little too scary for what we do, but I would really, really love to show the Texas Chainsaw Massacre because it's my favorite horror film of all time. The original Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. That'd be great.
It's just such a brilliant film.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I would really love to show that.
Interesting. Both of those choices are kind of documentary style films too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And speaking of films that didn't make money but that are iconic, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, a lot of those guys ended up getting paid with props.
But the movie itself, I found it hard to believe the movie itself didn't make any money.
There was some mob involvement and some mafia involvement and once it was picked up for distribution, because it was made by, you know, student filmmakers essentially. I mean, Toby Hooper was just a guy right out of University of Texas and working with mostly people that went to the University of Texas, except for our buddy John Duggan, who was who played Grandpa in the film, was kind of an actor, but he was a 19-year-old kid, but he's the only one that had a lot of acting experience. So, yeah, it's a really, I think it's one of the great films that stands up because it is so, it is so realistic in a lot of ways, and very, 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 very scary. I mean, it really is a scary film. The other one that I would love to show on the show that we can is Suspiria, which is Dario Argento's Italian horror flick. It's not really heavy on plot, but it's very heavy on atmosphere, and it's brutal, and it's and beautiful at the same time. It's one of those films that I really, really treasure and love. So, yeah, those are the kind of films we'd love to show.
It's another one that that was fairly recently and somewhat controversially remade.
Yeah, it's not a bad remake, but it's not the original for sure.
So,
with movies like The Wicker Man, I'm glad.
Well, you know, Chip mentioning the classic Universal monsters, and then Mike mentioning Leatherface brings me to kind of a topic that I always love to discuss when we're talking about horror, and that is there seems to be like two main sets of, like, the iconic monsters, for lack of a better term. There's the Universal monsters from back in the 30s and 40s and into the 50s. And then you have the icons that came up in the 70s and 80s. And I'm talking Leatherface, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Pinhead, Chucky, that kind of crew that people you still see go to regularly. Every once in a while, we get one more that gets added to the pantheon here and there. You know, some people would probably put the Ghostface from Scream in there. Some people would put Jigsaw from the Saw movies in there. But we haven't really had another cluster of horror movie icons like that since the 80s. Do you guys feel like we're due? And if so, why doesn't that seem to be happening? Lemmy, we'll start with you on that.
I think that they're trying, like the Killjoys and all of that, but I don't think anything is sticking. The classic monsters are a lot of those are from, you know, folklore, and they're in our in the back of our collective mind, you know. And then whenever the 80s came, most of those are our big franchises are all pretty much like a giallo film, like the Italian version of horror. I mean, even Friday the 13th was based on Bay of Blood, almost kill shot for kill shot through it, okay? And those are all based on basically the Faceless with the blade and all of that, and I just don't think that we have found the new format that is going to stick. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, you know, when you look at the Universal monsters, it's right there in the name. Universal Studios pretty much came up with, you know, those screen depictions of all of those, and they were all kind of put together by one group mind, for lack of a better term. But when you get into the 70s and 80s, all of those
characters.
True.
Creature from the Black Lagoon has no.
Yeah, there's no antecedent for the creature.
Iconic. There's yeah, there's no reference for it.
But then when you get into the 70s and 80s characters, pretty much all of those were conceived independently by different creative people, different studios. It's they weren't all lumped together. So I feel like there was something going on maybe in the zeitgeist at that time that that just made that a fertile period for that. And I'm not quite sure what it is. Mike, do you have any insight there?
Well, I mean, I think the other part of it is the film business is very, very splintered now. There's a lot more creativity, I think, because people are able to make their own movies and shoot it on their iPhone if they want to. You know, I mean, the process has really become very democratized. You can just do what you want to do at this point. And so that, I think that makes a difference. I mean, we have seen a few characters emerge. You know, you've got like Annabelle, and you've got stuff like that. They're kind of building a universe around. But I think what they need to do, and they've talked about doing it, but nobody's been able to launch it correctly so far, is to build a shared universe with the monsters like they did in the old days. You know, we had, you know, like you said, Universal all came from one hive mind. Hammer remade those Universal films in a lot of ways. These are the same characters, but it was all in one universe. And I think, you know, Guillermo del Toro and others have talked about creating a shared monster universe. And they tried to launch it several times with, you know, Dracula Untold and the most recent Mummy film with Tom Cruise. And they tried to relaunch this thing. But yeah, and then they just haven't been able to. And, you know, the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro. And they tried to launch a monster universe again. And they just haven't been successful yet. And I think it's because a lot of it is one of my biggest gripes in the whole world is when they take monster movies and you know, horror movies and try to turn them into action movies. It's just not something that I want to see. I want to see
like Van Helsing
a monster
stuff?
Movie.
Well, that was definitely what was wrong with Tom Cruise's Mummy movie.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about Van Helsing. Let's pretend that doesn't exist.
Well, and it seems like with this latest version of The Invisible Man that came out right before COVID hit, which was actually a pretty substantial hit, and they are making a sequel to that, that maybe this might be the footing that they have to finally get that going, because every time they've tried so far, the movie's either been terrible or it just hasn't stuck for one reason or the other. I kind of liked the world-building parts of the Tom Cruise Mummy movie, but the movie itself was, it might as well have been a Mission Impossible movie.
Right.
And I mean, there's a time and a place for that. I like that film series, but the time and the place isn't when you're trying to build a Universal horror series.
And they've been much more successful on television. I mean, although the show itself wasn't a huge hit, something like Penny Dreadful, where they brought in all of these monsters and then sort of had them interact and work together. You know, that show got 3 seasons. It was cut off way too soon. But it worked really well to have, you know, the Wolfman and Frankenstein and the monster and, you know, and Dracula and all of that working together. It really was a great show and really showed that this can work as a concept.
Well, it does seem like television is kind of where it's at right now, not just in terms of creativity in general, but in terms of horror in particular. You know, a lot of people went crazy for Lovecraft Country. A lot of people are going crazy for Ratched on FX, which is kind of tangentially a horror series.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, which brings us back to Nightmare Theater, which is, of course, on your television set tonight at 10 p.m. on WSRE. Guys, make sure you check out that Halloween special tonight, and make sure you check out Nightmare Theater every week. I think there's going to be some new scheduling coming up, perhaps.
Yeah, we've been talking about some of that. There may be some new scheduling. We haven't decided yet, but I know that starting in the new year that the episodes of Doctor Who are going to be leaving because that's going to be unavailable for PBS. But they're bringing in a replacement series that I think everybody's going to be very excited about. So that's the most we can say it right now.
Well, again, Nightmare Theater's Halloween special is on tonight on WSRE, 10 p.m. Make sure you check it out. Guys, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Happy Halloween to you, and happy Halloween to everybody listening. We'll be back next week with more Let's Go Pensacola. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.